that you can do with respect to. And I tell lawyers all the time, I'm one of them, I wouldn't tackle one. I know what the law is, but it's more complex than that. So I think we need to, CDC, have a look, together with ourselves, together with the department, together with academia, see how do we try and control this competency level that is required for active and successful rescues. I totally agree with that. So it's something that I think we need to put our heads together. I have no answer for it. I don't think that any of us do. I think we need to come up with a structure and a framework as to how we deal with this aspect of business rescue competency. You must remember that business rescue, in terms of how we structure it and for the practitioners, is something very new in our law. 4 years down the line in companies, like, it's new. So many of them have no experience. We had underground rescue through the Turnaround Management Association, and therefore we also look to them for experience, and that is the reason why we started to build on this framework, have this discussion, and try to build the competency levels of the practitioners.
Thank you. And of course, we do appreciate you informing us on what yesterday is. All right, members, now let us see by show of hands others who would like to raise issues with the department itself now at this point. Right. Honourable Williams, followed by the Honourable McPherson. Is that it? Thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson. I've just got one question. I just want to know, it seems that the rescue practitioners are mainly in the Western Cape and in Gauteng. But what happens in the Northern Cape where there's none, and Mpumalanga and Limpopo? So do people just move from Gauteng and then just go and do it there? Is that the only reason? There's no, like, group of them in those provinces. And just one more thing. I think that the department should seriously look at those, the professor's recommendations in his presentation. I think they're very good. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Williams. Honourable McPherson.
Thanks, Chair. I've got a couple of questions and just some comments. What amendments do you propose, or does the DTI propose, are made to the Companies Act? If those can just be detailed, and when the DTI plans to bring those. And then with respect to practitioners and business rescue, look, I think that, I mean, it's definitely concerning about the quality of practitioners that we have. But I think that we mustn't mistaken the work that practitioners do and that an administrator would do, a business that was put into administration. Because they're two totally different, operators in what they do. So I don't necessarily subscribe to the belief that a practitioner needs to be in a business every single day, but I subscribe to the belief that an administrator obviously would have to be, if the board appointed an administrator, they would need to be there on a daily basis, because they are dealing with, you know, far more fundamental issues of management, restructuring, and finances. With regards to why so many businesses fail when it comes to business rescue, I mean, I think that there's a number of complex answers to that question. But I want to understand, with respect to creditors, what negotiations or what are banks or financial institutions that are identified as creditors in the business rescue process, what compels them or forces them to renegotiate that debt that is owed to them, and if there is such a mechanism to do so. But for me, one of the biggest concerns with business rescue in South Africa is the speed and the cost to which it takes place in this country. So those are the two key successes to any business rescue. And if one looks at how the UK has managed to get it so right, those are the two key areas that they focused on, is the speed to resolve the impasse. And I think that Advocate Rory spoke to that earlier, that he's concerned that it takes so long, first of all, for it to take place, and then secondly, for that process to actually unfold. But I just want to get some contemplation on how we deal with those two important aspects of rescue, and what either the department or SIPC have in order to start speeding that process up and bringing the cost of business rescue should be? Because look, Chair, I mean, I agree that certainly liquidation needs to be the last resort.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to put a position forward because I haven't, you know, workshopped it correctly. But, I mean, I think in theory, you know, we don't want things to be liquidated at the cost of saving the business, because to the fiscus it's more important that we keep that business going so that there is, you know, a corporation tax and, you know, employees are earning taxable incomes. So without sort of a hammer approach to this, I think we need to relook at how the issue is actually structured. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Macpherson. Let me turn to yourself. Well, you see, I need to go back to the advocate, and I'm sure he'll allow you then to engage as well, Professor, but I'm now turning to Advocate Rory Fuller. Thank you. I also want to get the DTI's position as well at the end. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Williams, for the question. Yes, Honourable Williams, is that the company could possibly not find a practitioner in the province, and so they would use Gauteng lawyers or Gauteng accountants or KwaZulu-Natal or Western Cape to deal with the smaller outlying areas, and that speaks to the art of us educating people, because I'm sure that we need to look at how or what professionals we find in those areas and look at how we can capacitize them in order to do the type of work. So that's exactly, it's a very simple answer. They couldn't find any. But also it speaks to the heart that Prof. Morris was saying, is that sometimes what you do is the good names get banded about and the good names get known. So that's the reason why the good names get so many rescues. It's like, he helped me out, yeah. So that's exactly what happens. The reputation spreads far and wide. And just recently I've got a group of very, what they would say, interested business venture practitioners come to see me, because they're saying they're not getting any work. They're saying that the same names are cropping up time and time again. And what are we doing to transform what is this growing profession? Those are the type of discussions we also need to have regarding that. In terms of amendments to the Companies Act, I'll touch on it, and maybe my colleague can also come into it, is that the Specialist Committee on Company Law, which I mentioned earlier, is the body which advises. We've put through a whole amendments, Honourable Macpherson, in various areas. Some of them are corrections, some of them grammatical areas, but some of them are policy. I think there's quite a bit of, not quite a bit, actually there wasn't many. I think probably about 10 areas of policy that required amendments. But those are not the only amendments that we see coming through. That was just the first batch that was dealt with. They have been given over to the department. Mr. Ramabulana in the corner is very much aware of them, and we're waiting for it to be action. I think maybe they can answer as to when they're going to bring it, because we, as I said, we don't deal with it. We don't deal fully, but there is a set of amendments currently on the table regarding the Companies Act. Regarding the issue of speed, speed is something that, as I said, it's something that worries me on two aspects. One is, I firmly believe, because of the complexity of business rescue, when I say we, I mean the DTI, we need to really look at maybe some of the time frames. Not in terms of making them too long, but possibly seeing if they're real or not. How realistic is a business rescue plan of Everest Steel can be done in 3 months? Can you turn Everest Steel around in 6 months? It's very important in a sense that speed is very important in business rescue in order to ensure normality or get to a bit of a state of normality. But how realistic is it? Because the Companies Act is not written for smaller companies and medium size. It's written in one standard. So sometimes the standards might not be applicable to a larger workforce of 40,000 workers like Everest High Steel. I'm not sure how many workers they have, but we need to obviously look at that. And that, I think, is some of the recommendations that came through on the report as well. Because when you speak to the practitioners, they always turn to the fact that it is not realistic for me to have a business rescue plan to take a credit for meeting. It's just not real. So we need to obviously look at that. But the other aspect is that when it is realistic, we as a regulator need to play a more meaningful role to ensure that the legislation is adhered to. So the way that we are dealing with it is that we are now going back to all the rescues, and I've got my colleague Mr. Kotler here. We are informing them that the time frames are coming up, and therefore you need to adhere that you either ask for an extension, because the law says you must apply for an extension if you do not complete it within a particular time frame, or what we're going to do is we're going to put some punitive measures as per the conditional licensing regime. It's almost coming through, I wouldn't say coming through the back door because it's allowed, but it's us enforcing some and entrenching some licensing aspects on the business registered practitioner to ensure that when they take it on, they can adhere to what the law says. So it's worked on two frames. So one is that we need to obviously have a real look at what the time frames are, see how realistic they are, but also deal with the regulatory aspects as far as the commission is concerned to ensure that when you do take it on, adhere to our time frames, otherwise we're going to be punitive on you and send out a clear message as far as that is concerned. Because when business registry started off, and I have to admit as a regulator, it is something that we also had to get used to because it was a totally new regime. And I think it's time now that we actually enforce and entrench on what the time frames are. On the issue of cost, it's also a worrying aspect. I've heard of some wild figures. I've heard of a person, a business registry practitioner, and this was a complaint that was given to me by an audit committee member a few years back. He said to me a business registry practitioner was paid 600,000 rand for 2 weeks worth of work. Yeah, for 2 weeks worth of work, it was paid 600,000. This was told to me, and we're having a discussion.
I'm resigning my seat. I think that is shocking. I think it's shocking.
This was an audit committee chairperson said to me, Mr. Hola, I want to tell you something. I sit on the board of a company, and we have to pay a guy 600,000 for 2 weeks of work. All he did was renegotiate a rail contract, and the company was fairly safe. It was, I think, something to do with Richards Bay and the coal, the movement of coal from Richards Bay up to the coalfields. Renegotiated some sort of a rail contract and the 600,000. So the cost is shocking. As Prof. Mori has said, and it's
shocking.
There is something which they do, and Prof, maybe you should also allude to this. Even though the regulation spell out what the fees are, many practitioners contract their fees. So they will go in and say,
they
contract their fees. They say, no, your company tax is this. Now let me tell you what, if I'm going to turn it around, can we agree on a fee of 500,000? So they contract their fee instead of following what the daily rate or whatever the case may be. So it's contract law that plays itself out because then afterwards the company agrees that. Oh. And remember, the one aspect that also comes out quite clearly in the report is that the directors find themselves in an untenable situation where either the folding of this business or take every measure that we can utilize. The enormity of the pressure on them at that point make them do some really wild and irrational things just to try and save the business. And one is find a good practitioner who they believe is going to change the status of the company, they go out and make these wild payments. So the cost is important to us. How we regulate the cost, it's in the regulations already, but as I said, they contract it. So it's very, very difficult for us to deal with this, especially when it comes to the freedom of contracting parties.
Can I just add two things? You must understand that the rescue practitioners are very unhappy with this fee because they say that fee was established in 2008. There's no even inflation attached to that fee. So that is probably so, but therefore they contract. And remember, when the director must file, he is in that state of risk seeking. He just want to get rid of his problem. So they contract for a fee, and often the fee is like a number, say 200,000, when the plan is accepted. So that's the next thing. There is in the Act a provision for a creditor body. What we know is that the good rescue practitioners do use the creditor body. A creditor committee. And the idea would be, and there's maybe a little bit of a disagreement between me and the advocate about the timelines. In my mind, I don't think the timelines should change, because then it will be extended more. So if we're forced to stick to these timelines, time is of the essence. It's very important. And the Act makes provision for the business rescue practitioner to go to the creditor body and say, listen, I'm not going to have the plan ready. Here's the creditor committee. We have spoken about it. I'm putting it to your vote for an extension. And that is available in the Act. So it will be very difficult for the CIPC. And I wonder if they should go there to try and enforce those timelines. And the final thing that I want to say in answer to your negotiation and so on, is that there are discrepancies. For example, in the US and in they have what we call a prepack. In the UK, there is a scheme of agreements. That is a process available which happens before the actual date of the filing. But in South Africa, our legislation will be an act of insolvency,
yeah,
if you do something like that. So our act does not make provision for that, and that is, for example, one of the researches that we are involved in to eventually say to the legislator to say, make provision for such a process so that we can move it earlier,
yeah,
and in that will address that problem to a large extent. Ma'am, that's my story.
Well, thank you very much, Professor. Members, look, we actually have done great justice to this, considering the challenges under which we worked. But just a number of issues have arisen here. And I think, you know, what we'll have to do when we have a formal committee meeting, Honourable MacPherson, I'm sure you would agree, is we'll get this typed out. We'll put some of these recommendations. I hope some of them will include issues such as trying to get a better understanding from the, we've got this from yourself today to some extent, Advocate Foller, but also the DTI. And I'm just going to, before I close, just allow the Chief Director, who is the most senior person here from DTI, that's Evelyn Masocha, and then we've got, is it a director somewhere here? Mr. Raymond Gundula, is that pronounced?
Desmond.
It's got Raymond here. Who's Raymond?
Two of them.
Oh, one is Raymond, and Raymond, what is your title?
Deputy
Director. All right. Then we have at the bottom Desmond Ramabulane, is that right, Lana? Director, Commercial Law and Policy. And of course, as we all know, this CCRD is Consumer and Corporate Regulatory Division. All right, let's hear from you just to give us the position that DTI is at.
From our side, Madam Chair and Honourable Members, we do acknowledge that with the new legislation, there will always be issues that come up, like the ones that we have identified through observing the market and also through the research. And currently, as Advocate has alluded, we did receive the amendments on the Companies Act broadly from the Specialist Committee on Companies Law. And we are in the process of looking at different aspects of the legislation. So that process is in progress. As far as the study is concerned, we are going to tease out the recommendations and going forward, ensure that the issues that have been identified are also incorporated in the amendments, in partnership with the CIPC, of course. So going forward from our side is about the legislation and to see how this aligns to the policy process. And we will ensure that we do come back to communicate in terms of the timelines. I'm not in the position, unfortunately, Honourable MacPherson, to say when are we looking at the amendments, because it's a process that we are undergoing internally, also looking at the other issues over and above business rescue and the other aspects of the Companies Act.
Thank you very much. Now, you see, what worries me... Sorry?
The bells are ringing.
No, I just heard that. That's why I'm wrapping up. Is the whole issue of contract law. You heard the reference to that. Well, what can we do? Contract law. So what's the point in us putting anything in legislation? Roman Dutch law. So I think one of the critical proposals is that the, SIPC and the DTI engage with justice on contract law, because that is where that law is at the moment. And we need to find out and ascertain what is the position of our legislation when it's going to be overturned by contract law. You know, this is not acceptable. Right. But Honourable MacPherson, we will put these positions in that we've heard, and we will bring it to a formal committee meeting for adoption. Are we all agreed?
Thank you.
As for tomorrow, we will not stop. We will continue. We are politicians. And tomorrow we have the second quarterlies, DTI, National Gambling Board, NEF, all critical. So we will be here at 8:30. Which room?
Old Assembly.
Unless the Old Assembly is occupied with others.
I nominate Adrian to be the secretary tomorrow. Do I have a second?
Right. I should have said thank you very much to the DTI, to SIPSI, to the professor, and all members who attended. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Monday.
What time are these statements coming in?
After the member statement,